All right, guys. How are y'all doing? All right, if y'all want to stand, we're going to praise God. Stand up.
Because that's just what we're going to do. Woo!
All you who labor in vain, Morning. Welcome to Sycamore Church this Sunday. We're happy you're here. Oh yeah, you may be seated. Sorry. You may be seated. First, we have a couple announcements this morning. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we'll be taking communion, and there will be two services. And the next Friday is Good Friday. We'll be having a service here. Yes, it's on Friday, Good Friday. Yes. And then the following Sunday will be the Resurrection Sunday, and we'll be having two services then as well. And there will also be the Resurrection Dance at Forsyth Park around 5 p.m., Forsyth Park. See what else? Gotta forget. Yes, okay. That's all I've announced this today. Please be sure to fill out your cards with any contact changes or prayer requests, and you may rise and meet and greet. Feel free to give a big chest bump or knuckle touch or hug or suggest. They're suggested.
Belly buster.
He has a fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. With me, he has a fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever.
Be seated. All right, guys, if you give us just 1 minute, we're about to do a little skit for y'all, so bear with us.
Good morning, and thank you all for coming today. This morning, I will be presenting to you the results thus far of my study of the teenager. In this study, I have attempted to find the common bond between a select group of teens. Starting with a pool of 349,012, I've successfully narrowed my subjects down to 6-7 representative sample subjects. And without further ado, I would like to introduce to you the first subject. Our first subject is Miss Farah Sorester. Farah, as you can see, has a certain fascination with her cell phone. Being homeschooled, she has plenty of time to talk between episodes of Little Einsteins, Barney, and Rachel Ray. Plenty of time, that is, until she does something or doesn't do something to warrant her phone being taken away as a consequence of her actions. This happens an average of 4 to 5 times a day. In all honesty, Farah doesn't get that much time on her phone after all. Our next subject is Miguel Fonabasio. Miguel enjoys all the latest technological gadgets. He has an iPod, a J-pod, a K-pod, a pod for every letter of the alphabet. In fact, he is so into technology, industry professionals consult him before rolling out new products. His favorite hobby is collecting apps for his many, 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 many technological devices. Our next subject we have is Mr. Rogan Reynolds. Rogan spends most of his time playing sports. Football, golf, baseball, golf, tennis, golf, basketball, golf, tiddlywinks. You name it, he plays it. In fact, he is, unfortunately, as try as he may, Rogan seems to truly excel at only one thing, competitive frozen mayonnaise eating. Dequan T-Bone Brady is the next teen we'll be looking at. T-Bone has devoted his life to music, from playing on his mother's pots and pans when he was just 6 weeks old to learning a new instrument every week. To date, he can play the opening riff of Smoke on the Water on 175 different instruments.
That's good,
all right. G.I. Joel Pascalekalekalekalekis is the epitome of today's youth who stands ready for any, and I do mean any, situation. Hurricanes, earthquakes, ninja attacks, missing homework excuses, G.I. Joel is ready. Now, what representative group of teens would be complete without the obligatory cheerleader? Katie Stellers has been cheering since age 5. Oh, let's listen to one of the first cheers young Katie learned.
Ready? Okay. Go, Barney, go! Go, Barney, go! Go, Barney, go, Barney, go, Barney, go! No, really, go, Barney. I'm getting a little tired of all this. Let's hang out at school after school and talk about shapes and colors. Whatever. Go, Elmo!
Great. Our last subject is little Bo Gerland. Bo has always prided himself with the fact that he can seamlessly blend in with any crowd. He sees himself as just another average, run-of-the-mill, average Joe teen in search of meaning in a world filled with angst. Teen angst. All right. I have entered all the tests of vital statistics into the HAL 2001 supercomputer and should have the results any minute, thanks, Miguel. All right. So, according to the data entered, this highly select group of teens has absolutely nothing in common. This just doesn't make sense. I've done all the research. I crunched the numbers myself. I never saw this coming. I never saw this coming. I never noticed this string before. Seems this thread, this scarlet thread, is connecting them all. Oh, it goes all the way to this book. This just doesn't make any sense at all. This doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes perfect sense.
Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink.
Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body.
And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be?
If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts of one body.
The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor.
And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special that lacked it. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other.
If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
So I see. God doesn't see them by their outward appearance. He looks at their heart. And not only that, he looks at their heart through the blood of Christ. That's what unites them. That's the common bond. That's the scarlet thread.
Good morning. I wanted to talk to Stephen a little bit this morning about his relationship with Christ. Stephen has been a part of our congregation now for a little over a year, and he's a blessing to us. His family is a blessing to us, and we are thankful for all that God's done in through their lives. And so this morning, Stephen, as you and I chat a little bit about this, it's just you and I talking, man. Just don't worry about them, okay? They're not really there, okay? Or you can picture them in their underclothing, whichever one you want to do, okay? All right? First of all, Stephen, when did you come to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ?
Probably when I was at church camp. Like, I wasn't really much of a Christian before that. But whenever I went to church camp, everybody was like so nice to me and stuff, and everybody was just very, very, very Christian and stuff. So. And then I liked all that, and I could feel that He loved me one day, so I just decided to become a Christian.
So summer camp of last year, 2010, is what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Food was pretty good too, wasn't it?
Heck yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, prior to that time, what was your life like growing up or prior to that time of summer camp? What was your life like before you came to understand God's love for you and what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus Christ?
It wasn't really like... I don't know. I guess, when I was little, I came from a household of abuse. And, like, when I grew up, I started becoming violent and stuff, so I didn't really see God in any way at all. And, I forgot what I was about to say. And I always hung out with the wrong type of friends, so... Wait, could you say the question again? I'm just getting lost.
Basically, what was your life like before you came to know Jesus as your Savior?
To me, it was really, like, bad, because I'd always made the wrong choices. And I thought that things like Xbox or anything else, like a new puppy or something, would fill the void for on Jesus and stuff. So I was always very materialistic about things, but so yeah, wasn't really that good.
If you were telling people today that didn't know about God's love, how would you describe God's love to someone?
The greatest thing ever. Just, I can't really explain it. It's just really the best thing ever. That's about all I can say.
Well, how has that love through Jesus Christ changed you since, we'll say, summer camp last year, or as a point of reference?
It's made me do better in school, choose the right friends to hang out with, and listen to my parents. Just make good decisions, choices.
So you're saying by the Holy Spirit living in you, guiding your life, you see life differently?
Yes.
Okay. If you could tell somebody today one thing about Jesus Christ, what would you tell them?
He loves you regardless of anything you do. So, he just loves you always, and he'll always love you forever.
Unconditional love.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Stephen. I appreciate you sharing your testimony with us this morning.
How about now? There we go. Yes. God love it. You enjoy this so much. Sorry. All right. Today we're going to talk about blessings. When we speak to people, we say, oh, I promise this. I promise that. Oh, I'm going to do this for you. I'll pray for you. I'll give you this. I'll spend time with you here. And how many of those times do we go through life and just forget them? We make the promise, and then it's like we never said it. It's like a promise means nothing to us. But for God, it's completely different. He's promised us so many things. And no matter what in your life happens, what you do, what you say, he always follows through with those promises. And one of the biggest promises that I am just amazed at is his promise that he will bless us. Next slide, please. God blesses those who obey him. Leviticus 26, 3-5 says, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commandments, I will send you the seasonal rains. The land will then yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will overlap with the seasons of planting grain. You will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. That is what we need to live our lives by. We need to follow his decrees and his commandments. God has written out our entire guide to our life, and we find it in the Bible. We might not find, okay, what decision do I need to get, this car or this car? Decisions like that can't be found. But decisions that are a matter of whether or not we are or are not following God's will, you can always find it in the Bible. It doesn't matter what portion of your life you're going through, you will always be able to look back and have scriptural evidence of something in your life where you can say, okay, this is of God, this is not of God. Thank you. God blesses us when we seek to please him. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need. Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. We go through life and some people have more than others, but if you truly love God, God will give you whatever you need to live and to be a helper to build up the kingdom of God. God promised us that he wouldn't let us fall away from him by his account. We would have to push ourselves away because God's going to follow you wherever you go. He's going to be there when you're in the deepest, darkest place you could ever be. He's going to be there to pick you up and carry you and just say, it's okay. I remember we watched in youth group the Numa series. And there was one movie where it was this man who had a little boy on his shoulders and they were walking through the forest. And it started to rain and the boy started to cry. And the entire time that the father was taking his son home, he just picked him up in his arms and it said, it's okay, daddy's here. I'll get you home, you'll be safe. It's gonna be all right, we're almost there. And God has told us that if we seek the kingdom of God above all else, he'll provide everything you need. He'll provide safety, comfort, peace, all of these things in our lives. Okay. Salvation is our greatest blessing. Ephesians 1:3-6. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Just that right there. Even before he made the world, before I existed, before you existed, before this church existed, God said, I'm going to make you perfect because you were made in my image. I cared enough about you that I was going to set all of these things in the earth for you. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. That's the gospel right there. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured on us for those who belong to his son. When we belong to God, we are adopted into his family. We get all of the perks of being on God's side. We have the comfort to know that when I die, I'm not going to spend eternity away from God. I'm going to spend eternity with God. We have the security to know that whenever I'm struggling, there's always going to be someone there. I'm never going to be alone in my life. We'll never have to worry about the next thing because we'll always know that God has already planned the next thing. It's not unknown to God. There's a reason for all of this. He has our lives mapped out according to his will, and it is our duty to follow that. Next. I love this whole passage when Jesus gives the Sermon on the Beatitudes. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. Can you go back to the last slide? Verse 5 says, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. I think that is one of the biggest issues with our society today, is we see celebrities, we see famous, any kind of famous person, singers, songwriters, actors, musicians, anything, and we see, wow, they're making themselves look big, so I have to look big if I want to be like them. And we just glaze over the fact that it's when we get down that God will lift us up. It's when we say, okay, I'm going to step back from this and watch someone else do the work because that's the position that God has called me to be. Sometimes God will call you to be the front, the center, to be the one who's leading it. But sometimes he's going to call you to just say, I called someone else to do this. And when you follow that commandment, he will bless you. Okay, two slides. Okay. I heard this song a few weeks ago, and I played it for Miss Terry, and we both loved it, and it just spoke to me. And the chorus is the first part, and then there's just an ending at the bottom. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the achings of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? One of God's greatest blessings to us is mercy. We go through life expecting sometimes God to give us things because we're Christians. We say, okay, I did this, so God, where's my gift? And we forget that his gift is not punishing us. Every day, each and every one of us sin and go against God and go against his plan for our life. And yet sometimes we think that that doesn't even matter. That because of the 5 minutes every day that I do in my devotional or that I pray before a meal, that that entitles us to all that God has to offer us. And we lose sight of the fact that we have those 5 minutes because God gave them to us. We have those 5 minutes because he gave me another breath last night. His blessing to us is his mercy upon us. And then the ending part is, when friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not, it's not our home. You can go to the next slide. Okay. Like I said at the beginning, God's promises never fail. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. If God makes a promise or a covenant with you, he will follow through. It doesn't mean that, okay, God, you promised me that I would get a job. Where's my job? Sometimes we have to wait. I remember Larry Spear saying this, and I'm sure Dusty has said this many times, but I just remember Larry was the first one that I heard it from. There are three answers God always gives us. Yes, no, wait. And we forget about that third one all the time. We say, all right, God, answer. And we get impatient. But our lives are run on God's time, not our time. It doesn't matter what we're doing right then. It matters what God's plan for our life is. We may think that we missed out on a great opportunity, but because we missed out on that one time, God put us in another position that we could have never even dreamed of, because that was his greater plan. Because we may think that, yeah, I have an idea of what I want to do, but it doesn't matter what my idea is, because God's will always be better than mine. We have entered into the family of God. Like I said, we get the perks. We understand that now, when we fulfill our duty, we will be blessed. Good. I love this verse because it just reminds me every day that sometimes it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. It matters what God gives you. But store your treasures in heaven, where they cannot be destroyed by moths or rust, and where thieves cannot break in and steal them. I always love the analogy that Mr. Dusty says. You can't attach a trailer to your hearse. It doesn't matter what you have here. It doesn't matter what car you have, what house. It matters what you do with your relationship with God and your relationship with others, whether or not you're influencing the kingdom of God in a positive or a negative way. Because when you influence it for a positive way, God will give you treasures that you can't even see yet. You'll only see them when you enter into his kingdom. So what do we need to do about it? Follow God's precise plan for our lives. A lot of us, and I know I have, gone through life, and there's a song that says, I'm just going through the motions by Matthew West. And we just kind of live our lives. We don't really consult God on things unless it's a big thing. But the thing is, we should be consulting him for every decision we make. Because his decision, his choice, will always be the better one. Prepare ourselves for the war that we have entered. John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Is there anything else that we need to be worried about? We know that when we follow God's plan for our lives, he will give us a rich and satisfying life, because that is what he wants for us. God doesn't want you to suffer. God doesn't want you to be in pain. He wants to bless you immensely. We just have to remember to follow his will, not ours. And my last thing is, remind ourselves of the final destination. That's from the song Blessings. The pain of this life reminds me that this is not our home. We are just here in God's time for about as much time as not even that. Because you can't compare 100 years to eternity. You can't compare your life on this earth to anything in comparison to God's time. Because God orchestrated this at the beginning of time, before anything existed. And we think that what we do here, that we need to have popularity. We need to be rich. We need all of these things. But in the end, it doesn't matter, because we are going to spend eternity with him. So now, I'm going to ask Mr. Gary to come up, and we're just going to open the altar.
Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the beautiful servants' hearts of the youth that have blessed us this morning. Father, most of all, we thank you for loving us unconditionally. As we've heard this morning, you love us regardless of what we do. That unconditional love, Father God. We thank you for that. We just bless you. Amen. for a few of you, okay? Those of you who know me know what I'm about to do. I want you to turn and look at somebody. Turn and find someone you can look in their eyes. It's two or three people. I want you to look at somebody in their eyes. Look at somebody in their eyes. Don't look at me. Turn around and look at somebody or I'll go out and smack you. And you know I will. And I want you to sing this last part. I want you to sing this chorus to them.
The youth group has one more song for y'all.
Okay. Alright, it's a little cringe.
You can have all this
When we were about to close with prayer, I got this from a friend. We are not citizens of this world trying to make our way to heaven. We are citizens of heaven trying to make our way through this world. That radical Christian insight can be life-changing. We are not to live so as to earn God's love, inherit heaven, and purchase our salvation. All those things are given to us as gifts. Gifts brought by Jesus on the cross and handed over to us. We are to live as God's redeemed, as heirs of heaven and as citizens of another land. The kingdom of God, the worst sin, is not failure or being outvoted or losing, as the world tells us. We live as those who are on a journey home, a home we know will have lights and on and an open door, and our Father will be waiting on us when we arrive. That means in all adversity, our worship of God is joyful, our life is hopeful, and our future secure. There is nothing we can lose on earth that can rob us of the treasure God has given to us and will give us. Go in God's grace.